I'm sorry, sorry. You guys look very thirsty. What can I get you?
Scotch on the rocks for me, vodka and tonic, half a lime, no ice for the gentleman here. Busy tonight?
It's Friday night. Mm.
Kids have taken Aspro.
Good for them.
You guys new in the neighborhood?
Are you kidding? There was a famous sip-in right here in this bar to challenge the New York State regulation that prohibited bars from serving homosexuals.
Yeah, we have a clipping from the New York Times framed here somewhere.
1966. Me and four other guys, we came in here accompanied by five reporters. When we were denied service, we denounced the state liquor authority.
Oh my God, you're that guy?
Yeah, I was one of the guys.
Wow. Well, this round's on me, fellas.
You are such a liar.
What?
You'll do anything for a free drink.
Oh, I knew the guy who thought it up.
Frank?
Yeah, that was his claim to fame.
Yeah, I thought his claim to fame was something entirely different.
Well, that too.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is
and we are not Douglas and
It's late at our
Oh, man. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes.
And I am not rushing this podcast. I'd rather we sit down and just talk nonsense for another 10 minutes. But we're going to do this. Because...
No, I'm not in a rush. And Douglas is already at his
office. Okay. It makes a lot of sense.
We're good.
We've got many things to talk about, but I really want to start off because we're in catch-up mode again. We've all finally gotten around
Uma Thurman's joke?
To seeing...
Is that what you were calling back to Andrew? Really?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. we've finally all gotten around to seeing... Luca Guadino's Call Me By Your Name.
Professor Perlman, thank you so much.
So nice.
Très confiant, hein?
I can show you around.
That'd be great. Thank you. So what do you do around here?
Read books, transcribe music, swim at the river, go out at night.
Sounds fun. All right, later.
I have to say...
Where the streets have no name?
I have to say that you people need to be more sensitive
yes.
to the VOD
uh-huh.
release timing schedule.
Okay.
More specifically to the schedule of VOD releases that are rentals mm-hmm. so that I don't have to fucking buy a goddamn movie and have it in my goddamn watch list forever.
That sounds like a you problem.
Is it a me problem?
Yeah. Sounds kind of personal. You shouldn't air personal grievances.
I mean, I just go down to the theater and give them $12 and watch the movie.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, you goddamn foreigner.
Douglas, I don't know what to tell you this, but there's websites.
What are on those websites, Damien?
Porn mostly. Hardcore pornography.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Those sites are about 85% porn.
So anyways, this movie is set in summer of 1983 in the mm-hmm. north of Italy. It's a coming of age story about a young man, Elio, age 17, and he has a summer relationship with a student, student who's come to visit his father in Italy, and it goes from there. Damien, you were probably the most excited of all of us when 2017 was over to kind of get caught up with this movie. Did it meet your expectations? Are you now ready to make all of the peach related jokes that everyone's been making for the last 4 months.
The peach jokes are horrifying.
I didn't know there were peach jokes.
This movie would not have been in the top 10. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like this movie. It's really good.
You're a monster.
No, I understand. There's a thing that happens at the end, the very end of this movie during the credits. Manipulative thing I've seen in a good long time.
Manipulative, right? I just love the way this movie ends.
Yeah, no.
I love the way the credits roll over, Douglas, over this thing, and it's so
Douglas,
so
it
great.
Is very effective, but they are manipulating the shit. Like, when it was happening, I was like, you monsters are going to... I realized 10 seconds in, I'm like, I don't think they're going to fade out, you know. I think these assholes are going to keep this going.
Just stare in my eyes and tell me you felt something.
The song, the flames, watching the ladies, set the table in the background. Like, every part of that was spectacularly done. And I disagree with their tactics.
Is it that you're afraid of your own feelings, Damien?
No, it did what it was supposed to do, but it is manipulative.
I have to tell you, I know that I am a hollow shell of a man because while I appreciated and enjoyed it, I felt nothing.
No, yeah, you're still Douglas. can't wait for your first baby to be born. I thought you would be.
Where's the USB-C port?
It's already crying. This baby sucks. Can I have a redo on this? Guys, why is it so ugly? God damn it. I'm
all
this
you.
Beautiful lady. Couldn't
Douglas.
You have gotten some of her looks? Jesus Christ. All right. Anyways, doctors.
Need to upgrade this software.
How much does this cost? How much is all of this? Can I have this to go? I need to have football to watch. I don't want to be here anymore. The movie is exactly what Andrew said. this guy comes to his house. His father's a teacher. So the guy comes to... It's not really a summer vacation because he's working. I don't know. And it's not really an internship because he's not doing shit. But
he's a research assistant, technically.
Yeah, it's a thing that his father does every year. And this guy comes and he... is initially upset because he has to give up his room. I know what that feels like. Everyone hates giving up rooms. You guys don't because you'd rather die. That's never happened to you guys. But the rest of the movie is just them getting to know each other and them basically falling in love with each other. I don't know how big the age discrepancy is supposed to be.
Well, okay, so
because
that's
one of these guys,
yeah. I think you'd assume like it's
man.
Wrong
so
10 years
that's
max.
Something that actually
because like he's a post grad student at least.
Yeah.
Oh, it's post grad.
Right.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that case, all right. So I have to tell you, I had a bit of a problem with that throughout this movie, in the sense that I realized, as you said, there's an age gap. And they actually call it out from day one. But I tried to... Because of the way this movie is presenting it, I tried to think to myself, all right, is there a way I can get past this?
Yeah.
Right? And so at a certain point, I realized that Armie Hammer is actually this guy's father's student, which means I decided he's a college student.
Right.
Which means let's call him a senior. He's max 22.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm inserting it by the post-grad. I don't know.
I know, but exactly. But hold on. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. And if this fella is 17, 22 and 17, I mean...
Yeah.
There's a line there, but... Mm-hmm. All right.
It's more fuzzy.
It's more fuzzy. But if no, Andrew is right, which I never even thought of, and he could absolutely be right.
If he's post-grad on 30.
We could be talking about...
Right.
A grown ass man.
If he's twice the age.
Yeah.
If it's 16 and 32, then we have to call the police.
But they're fascists. I don't know which police you call it.
Militias involved.
This is interesting because I was reading today in the news about how France is inputting a legal age of consent, implying that they didn't have an actual written down age of consent in France, because there's some story about some 15-year-old girls who were raped, and the males in question, who they know did it, got off. They were just like, it was age rape. I don't know how to really word that. I feel like I'm screwing this all up.
Statutory
rape.
Age rape?
Yeah.
I need to put that on a shirt.
I know, right? So, okay, in some quasi-related but much less serious news, speaking of laws that never existed, did I tell you guys about my recent trip to Trinidad? And I was having a conversation with a lady, and we were talking about, you know, cultural trends, mm-hmm. and differences between Jamaica and Trinidad, and things like driving and partying and fun. And mm-hmm. until about halfway through the conversation, I realized that she is, like, more than implying some serious implication that up until recently, and by recently I don't mean like the 60s, mm-hmm. I mean recently, like
yesterday,
this year, in Trinidad it was not illegal to drink and drive.
I mean, what? I mean,
yeah, I remember hearing about that while I was home. There.
Douglas, answer me a question. If I'm out drinking, how do I get home?
No, okay, so you said that sarcastically. That's the sort of thing that she would say. And I'd be like, wait, hold on. Did I just pick up on mm-hmm. this?
This is impossible.
This can't be. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, right? Yeah. Because we're all assholes.
Right.
But we all agree that we shouldn't do it, right?
Like the law, they had to write something down saying specifically, do not do this. Like, I found out that there were states where you could text and drive. I was like, oh.
Oh,
all right.
Not here anymore.
All right, America. Mm. You guys still, there's a couple states that they're still doing it right. Just like, who gives a shit?
Is it sad that, so they just put, mm-hmm. they just stopped that out here, we're not allowed. Even though I'm sure, well.
So, okay. I don't want to, I know where you're going, but I just want to kind of iron out what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. The France is setting their sexual age of consent now to 15 because there were two recent cases of men accused having sex with 11-year-old girls. And there's technically no law against it
in
France.
That
Douglas, we need to move to France.
Speak for yourself.
I am. Douglas, we need to move to France.
But yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, so yeah, I was actually driving a long drive today, and I was actually doing something that is now illegal, right?
Yes.
I had my phone, I wasn't holding it,
mm-hmm.
I had it on the seat beside me,
yes,
with the screen up, and I had the map on because I knew how to get to the general vicinity,
right,
but not exactly where I was going. That is now illegal, by the way, which fucking sucks.
You should probably keep your eyes on the road, though. Yeah, it sucks.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
just because you have the ability doesn't mean you should do it, Douglas.
No.
Buy a thing and put the screen in front of you.
Fine, but also it's not illegal to have a map and be looking at it, right?
But it should be.
Either way, that's not really where I was going with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining. I'm actually illuminating how stupid I am, in the sense that because I had the map up, because I had it on the chair, and especially with the map up, it's weird and you have to do all sorts of things to get into other mm-hmm. apps. I have my music playing, and I just realized, I thought to myself, but Douglas, I don't like this song. You don't like this song. You could probably just tell your phone to change it. And I said, okay, Google, play the next track. And guess what, guys? It played the next track. And oh my God, my phone just turned on. I love it.
But anyways, back to Call Me By Your Name and Douglas's age discrepancy issues.
Apparently my next track is Tori Kelly, All In My Head. That's the search that comes up.
Fair enough.
The YouTube search.
I he's a grown-ass man sleeping with a teenager, which is weird, but I don't know, like, how to feel about that. My biggest problem with this movie is a similar problem to a movie that came out even more recently, Black Panther, where there's too many black people now.
hey, colonize, be quiet.
Is it sad I still haven't watched that movie? So are you saying that Douglas, that I made the right decision in not going to Caribbean?
What I'm saying is, give Black Panther like 6 months to come out when all the hype is gone, and then you might be able to like that movie.
Okay.
Like, I went into this movie and everybody's just like, dog, it is like the fish fucking movie, just better. I'm like, all right, great. Let's do this. And it was a good movie, but it's just that. Like, it's a movie about summer love. Like, and it's not the trilogy that we love.
Before.
Right. It's not like the Before movies where it's written so well and so incredibly acted and paced that you're just like, I'd watch 19 more of these movies. Like, the movie is good, and I'm sure the next time I watch it, now that I know what it is, I might like it even more. Similarly to Black Panther. Like, the thing with Black Panther, Douglas, there is two ladies who are bodyguards in the movie, and every time they are on the screen, I stop caring about whatever the hell was happening. I was like, oh yeah, there's things happening, I'm sure. So I'm going to stare at these two women the entire time and not understand.
On the screen, does a song by Ghost play in the background?
No. Okay. You're an idiot. With this movie, I just constantly kept being distracted by the age difference, kind of like Douglas. And I was like, he's a grown-ass man, dog. Like, I understand that they like each other and it seems cute, but Armie Hammer is a grown-ass man. And this kid is like 15 years old.
He's 17.
And I give a shit. And this ain't, ain't right, dog.
When Andrew says something like that, he sounds like essentially he's saying, have you ever heard somebody say like a remark like, yo, if there's grass on the
ground, yeah, right. Like, you can come out. Right, you can play. Right. I've heard horrible men say.
Let me respond to that. Number one, the thing about this movie, and I really don't know how to make it sound any better. The thing about this movie that I, in that regard, as it relates to age difference and everything, because for the general rule of thumb, I agree 100%.
Right, that if there's grass on the floor.
You assholes. But the thing about it that I like so much about this movie as it relates to their romance is that even though later in the movie you hear them talk about how, you hear Armie Hammer talk about how he was quote-unquote testing the waters.
Yeah.
Ignoring that moment, it feels to me all of this movie is him chasing after Armie Hammer, right? Until eventually the thing they want happens. And somehow, I don't know, I felt okay with it. Like, I mean, it's, as much as we like to talk about these things being black and white rules, which for the most part there are contexts in which we all blend those rules, right? You guys were talking just recently about like, well, maybe if he's 21 and that's not that crazy, right? Like, we could bend the rule a little there. There's nothing about the thing about that rule in black and white sense is we want to protect those who are bad at making decisions, right, from making bad decisions. But nothing about the character of Elio felt like, and nothing about anything that went on felt like bad decisions. It just felt like a romance story. If this was a story of two 17-year-olds that had the exact same narrative, we would be like, oh, now we can talk about this because they're young, but whatever, let's talk about this. And it felt to me...
So, Sorry,
it felt to me like that. It didn't distract me too hard of being like, you know, he looks like he's a 50-year-old that Armie Hammer there standing up in that statuesque moment.
A couple of things, and one first thing is just to respond. So actually you're quite right about the 17 and 17-year-old thing, of course, we wouldn't care. But God damn it, I can't have more than one thought in my mind at the same time. I had a point to make. But fuck that. The next thing is... Ah, fuck, I forgot.
Sponsored by memory loss.
It's a quality use of time. Listen, I have 2 points. No.
Who am I? The girl that I'm sure.
What are we...
Yeah. All right.
But no. Oh, I remember one of the points I was going to make. So, just because... the younger person is going after the older person.
Doesn't change, right?
I mean, actually, the truth of the matter is that is more an argument for
protection. Protection,
because essentially that is the thing. That is the decision that we're.
You're trying to.
Is essentially not necessarily the smartest one.
Right.
Right. And listen,
the
other 18,
way is predatory.
Yeah.
When it is the grown person taking advantage of the young person, the older person is viewed as a predator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have set out to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a young person going after someone way older, then this is a shitty decision that the adult is enabling and should not enable.
And is still taking advantage of them.
Right, they're still taking advantage of the situation.
And essentially, so, one thing you have to, of course, recognize is there is really no difference effectively between an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old in terms of, like, you know, their drivers and the sort of dumb shit that they do.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that an 18-year-old would do the same way. So let's get
and,
that out
and
of the
also,
way.
And also, most countries, 17 is technically the age of consent.
I mean, we all
might look down on it, be like, why would you date a 17-year-old at this stage? Like, that's a bad decision. But still, legally speaking...
No, that's true. And so it might even, in Italy, it might actually be legal. So there you go. I didn't even think about that. Like, out here, I know, I think the age is 16.
I have no
idea. In the States, look at 16-year-old. Specific states have a 16-year-old age, apparently.
France has a 15-year-old age.
Oh, there you go. But they weren't in France. even though they spoke French from time to time. that does not count.
My biggest problem with this movie is trying to believe that a 17-year-old Italian boy had never had sex before. That is ridiculous. Yeah.
So they're all American.
That's the problem with this movie. And my biggest problem with this movie, I think, is essentially Damien's biggest problem with this movie. So I watched this movie and thought it was fine.
Yeah.
but after hearing this is Jesus.
Yeah, I heard that this movie cured cancer.
Years,
do you still have cancer?
That
no.
So,
but I also watched Black Panther, so I don't know which one did.
And by the way, I don't know if I don't have cancer.
Yeah.
So let me explain to you. This is how it works.
You get tested.
When you go into Black Panther, you had cancer. When you left, you didn't.
Right.
And somewhere in between the time of Black Panther watching and Call Me By Your Name, you got cancer again.
I lost my cancer.
But so, okay. So I think also a big part of... So in a way, I kind of dislike this movie because of that. Right? Mm-hmm. Another thing, yes, expectations. Another thing that I think made me focus my, and it wasn't quite physical discomfort. A lot of the time when I watch movies like this, I actually get physically uncomfortable about a situation. I didn't with this one, but there was kind of a weird curiosity about and kind of questioning of, is it okay for me to think that this is okay, what's happening? Mm-hmm. And what accelerated that, what enhanced that, was the way that the movie was paced. The fact that a good, solid... And by the way, this movie is long. This movie is 2 and change. It might be 2:15. Somewhere in that region, right?
Yeah.
A good half of this movie, nothing happens. And... the way that nothing happens enhances your questioning about it. Because one, they don't hide it in any of the marketing and in any of the people that have spoken about it.
They're like, what this
guys,
movie is about.
This movie is about these two people banging.
Yeah.
Right? And in the first hour to hour and 15 minutes.
It's like, this movie is not about any of
that. That's
not
what it is. But
I don't even
see,
know if he actually likes this food.
But that's the thing, right? You see them kind of playing this weird game.
Yeah.
This weird, can I, or what boundary can I push, right? So there is a scene. Well, for and actually, the thing about it is, and the more I talk about it, I feel like I'm going to convince myself to like it more. Something that I really did like about this movie was that they weren't one thing, right? These guys weren't one-sided. It, it wasn't that this was the gay love affair of the ages, right? This movie was about two just young, confused people. Well, not confused. That's a shitty word to say. But just these people who are in this situation. Right. And you could see like...
They went about it how young people go about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Right. So you see both of them having... Essentially, like, just banging everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Man, woman, child, goat, duck,
right.
Sheep, everything.
Hey,
right?
Hey, how did the
bleeds get into this?
It leads.
And so, at a certain stage, you're like, okay, what's, where is this going? And there would be things like, there was this moment early on where Armie Hammer caresses him on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And then covers it by, and I thought it was, I thought it was great, right? Mm-hmm. So he caresses him and I was like, ah, it's going to start.
Uh-huh.
And then he essentially, he like reads the situation, realizes, oh, this guy, maybe not so into it. And he pulls in this girl and then makes it look like he essentially segued. He was this guy's wingman.
Right.
So he got him into a physical situation with somebody else.
So let this girl rub you down.
Exactly. Right. And they do things like that a lot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which I think is good. I don't... This is one of those movies where it's hard for me to look at them and be like, they acted well. Because to me, they were just talking, right? And it's weird to say that because...
Before trilogy.
I actually adore, exactly, before and how that is done.
Yeah, you leave the before trilogy alone.
But I cannot look at both of those items, both of those properties and say, this is what Before did right and this is what Call Me By Your Name did wrong. Or, the, or vice versa. I cannot actually say to you that Armie Hammer sucks because of X. But it just felt, and maybe that's a good thing, it just felt natural. It felt like these guys were just, you know.
It's a thing I always talk about when we end up talking about movies that Damien, let me not say hates, but always criticizes heavily.
Yes.
When it when we get into the world of movies where people talk about appreciation, right? And it's not necessarily like the ones that Damien flat out dislikes, but the concept of movies doing things that movies typically don't do. And not to make us dislike the movie, but somehow their affectations about movies in ways that they convey ideas to us. And they've been so ingrained in us over all of these years that if a movie doesn't tell us how characters are feeling by these certain defined ways, we then kind of get lost in what's going on with the movie. And there are movies that do this better and worse, right? And I find that interesting that you're like, I don't know what's going on kind of ish with or how they everything being natural and you're not sure, but I actually love this movie because everything feels natural. Rewatching this movie, I noticed a lot more of just how much Armie Hammer and Timothy Chalamet play off each other and how this story for me is a story of this young child's sexual awakening, and Armie Hammer just happens to be that guy that shows up and makes everything happen. So much so that, as you talk about, like everything gets fucked in this movie, right? He has relations with this one girl, he has relations with Armie, he has relations with other elements of the world in this film.
Yes, with sheep,
right? And goats. And it's
and crows.
And they're there are moments where I think there's one moment where I was where I noticed, I don't think I saw this the first time. He has this notepad that he writes on a lot. So there are times where we hear him thinking out loud what he's writing. But there's also this one moment, like in the middle-ish of the first hour, somewhere in there, where Armie Hammer and him are kind of at odds. And you kind of see a glance of the notepad of what he's writing, where he's writing and talking about he's not sure if he... If Armie Hammer hates him and he doesn't want him to hate him and stuff to that effect, and like everything about the way these two characters interact with each other felt like the natural way two love interests would react to one another when they're not sure of how the other one feels consistently, and they're not even sure about the way they feel sometimes. So you can see in the reactions of Armie Hammer in some of even the more direct scenes, like the first time they kiss on that riverbank, where Armie Hammer.
I agree with you.
Where Armie Hammer.
When I like a guy, I wear his pants on my head and pray like an elephant.
How else would
that's
you know that you
sound,
like him?
Right?
No, but
I'm confused. I'm not supposed to do that. That's how me and Andrew met.
And that's why we're still friends today, right? there are some points where I think Damien's talked about this for other movies. There's some points where Timothée Chalamet, his character, acts more like a teenager than I've seen in a lot of other movies. There's some points when two friends of the family who they refer to as Sonny and Cher. Show up, and you can see Timothée Chalamet do that little slide that he does like repeatedly, and he does it in that way that you look at teenagers and they're like trying to show off slash kind of entertain themselves in a scenario where they're like, I'm just going to be bored by my parents' friends right now, aren't I? And the ways in which he kind of fights with his father over like, I really don't want to play the piano tonight, when he's like,
Is it because they're gay or is it because they're ridiculous? Is my favorite line of the day.
So I have to tell you, right? Now, what annoys me? Well, maybe I shouldn't say it annoys me. Let me start it from another angle. Ankle.
The red right ankle.
Angle. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why does everybody think that guy is so good in this movie?
Stuhlbarg, you mean?
Michael Stuhlbarg.
Alright, let me tell you. The answer is...
And if you're going to tell me that because his character is so fucking open and it's important,
no,
I'm going to slap
no.
somebody.
Oh my god.
It's because we love him.
That didn't even cross my mind.
That's all.
And I'm upset.
Right? We love him.
What's that?
We love him. In every scene,
all right, then, cool.
In every scene that we see him in, even if we're not talking about the final speech that everyone kind of goes crazy over, which I love that final speech, but let's forget about that for the moment. Every other scene that we see him in, he has moments. He's the effective character who we enjoy in the movie. So you have that scene when the first time Armie Hammer and they talk about the apricot and that whole thing about etymology, and you're like, oh, you're just a cute dad. We love that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The worst conversation I've ever heard in my life. I'd run away. If I live with anyone that does that, I'm leaving that house. Oh my god, is that what being a lecturer is? I'm never going to do it.
One day you will, Damien. One day you will, and I'll be there to point it out to you. And then you'll
absolutely not.
And then you'll do the Ray Fiennes thing and you'll shoot yourself in the head, right?
Yeah, trust
okay,
me.
Okay, cool.
Boy. Just have to call it a day, like I'm done.
Like pretty much every moment that he's in this movie, and once again, I'm leaving off the final scene because that's where Douglas is going to be like, no, you want it to be important. No, every moment in this movie that he's in, even there's a scene where they go and they pick up, they find the statue in the ocean. The ocean's been dug up. They get to have this wonderful moment of them just enjoying the art and then going out in the ocean. Everything about him feels like this lovable, fun character. And I like him, right?
Andrew, the thing you're not realizing is Douglas feels about him how he feels about the rest of the movie. Like, he can't... Nothing about this movie is special to him. So, like, the thing you're describing is basically how you feel about the rest of the movie. And because you are so enamored with this movie, and because you like everybody else except the two of us, apparently, are so in love with this movie. And I can understand, everything is basically amplified by your affection towards this movie. And I know this movie is good. I just watched it wrong. And towards the end of the movie, I realized what I would need to love this movie the most. What I would need is for Carib to put out this movie for one day. That I want to watch this movie.
To go to Carib and take pictures.
Douglas, I am going
night
to
vision
run.
Douglas.
I will leave work early. I'll get fired. Just to go and sit.
What
and
you need
stare
to do is
everybody.
You need to have them play it instead of Black Panther. Everyone bought
you're
tickets for Black Panther.
You're inciting race riots at that point. Oh, like they'd burn the theater to the ground.
The question I'd ask is, how long would it take in the movie for them to
if,
be
instead of Black Panther, by intermission, like halfway through that movie, there'd be people rioting in the streets, and I mean, I just want him to play the second half of this movie, just to hear the reactions that people would have, because. Oh, I tell you, Jamaicans are still... Oh, they're still so good at it. So very good at it. Andrew, listen. Unlike some of the other movies we've talked about where you fall in love and I ignore you and your nonsense, I know this movie's good.
Like, that's the same problem I have, too, right? I know that...
I have eyes. I'm not blind. I know what acting and directing is supposed to look like.
I know that there's
this
something
movie,
wrong with me
yeah,
because
this movie
I don't
ticks
like the hype.
Every single
right?
box. It is just that the hype exceeded the movie.
Yep.
And so now, what my expectations were was something spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a good movie, which is less than spectacular. And I hope the second time I watch it, it's not a Dunkirk situation where I tell myself, I know this movie is good, but I'll know it is even more gooder the second
gooder.
Time. And then watch it and go, no, I think Chris Nolan missed on this one. I hope when I watch this movie again, I don't go, nah, I don't think I'm keeping this movie. Because right now I know I'm keeping this movie, like. This movie is really good.
Well, I have no fucking choice.
Yeah.
So now you can force yourself to rewatch it in like 6 months and reevaluate
Douglas better than that. Douglas will watch this movie like 18 years from today.
What was that movie again? Call Me By Your Name?
What the hell is this movie?
It has Armie Hammer.
I love Armie Hammer. Let's watch this.
Damien, do you remember there was a time when I used to hate Armie Hammer?
Yeah.
It was called The Lone Ranger.
In fairness. He had made some mistakes.
I mean, he had not impressed me because the only real thing
the
I needed
social network
Facebook
didn't do it for you.
Impress me.
Right.
Then
and
there
then,
was a Lone Ranger.
Oh, Jesus. Mm. But then he redeemed himself in one movie.
Yeah. A Guy Ritchie movie.
That movie is spectacular.
So
I rewatched that movie.
I love Armie Hammer. By the time you got to Free Fire, he's just playing with house money. It's just it's like. Armie Hammer is the best. Oh, you did Lone Ranger? No, I don't believe you.
Actually, I love Armie Hammer so much. Mm-hmm. If you put Lone Ranger on the screen,
you'd
I'd
think
probably,
about
I'd
it.
I think
yeah.
about it. And I say, you know what? Maybe I didn't give it the right amount of attention.
Maybe he was good in it. Yeah. Maybe this movie's garbage. I know this movie's garbage. Let's see what Armie did in this.
Yeah, we're terrible. It's sad how something like that can affect your view of a movie. It's like Last Flag Flying or whatever it's called. Where I was like, oh, I didn't mind this movie. And you guys were, oh,
just like,
I hate Linklater.
Jesus Christ.
And I was just like, well.
Yeah, he was like, meh.
It's something by somebody I like.
Which is how Douglas listens to music.
Speaking of music, Sufjan Stevens was the soundtrack, and you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up at some point in this.
Yeah.
Actually, I love more, beyond the Sufjan Stevens stuff, I love more the the just random 80s music in there.
There was one song, a couple of songs, like one in the car in the random city,
and the dance one scene
when they were dancing.
Yes,
those two songs were very good. I do remember thinking that. Yeah,
80s were a terrible time. A lot of people died.
Music was bad. Yes. Clothing was bad.
You see, that's when hair they was bad. When they were beta testing the Dirty White.
Yeah,
and so they said,
there was a visionary man, and he's like, I know one day this will lead to Daggery.
Hey, leave those peaches alone. Leave them alone. They're not for that. But yeah, I love this movie, guys. Like, I was afraid that I'd come in and be like, you remember when I said I loved that movie last year? I was wrong. No, I love this movie more. Like, this movie feels to me, I don't want to say the Before trilogy, but it feels like one of those movies where I enjoy just existing with this movie.
Yeah. And Andrew, it's okay. You can say it. And like, we know you love it. Like, how you loved it before, sure. Like, that's not... That is heaping a lot of praise on the movie. Like, yeah, we don't love it as much, but we're not going to attack you for saying it, because we also know that the movie is good. We're just terrible people. I was going to make some dumb point, and now, like Douglas, it has...
Which means I get the moment to say, didn't you guys love that final speech with Michael Stuhlbarg? Didn't you cry?
Oh no, I'm a grown-ass man.
Actually, the one thing that says I was, as I was watching it, I had two conflicting points of view or thoughts, really. Right. One was...
You shouldn't allow strange men to take advantage of his son. was the only thought.
One was, oh my gosh, this guy is actually like acknowledging this and putting it out there and being super supportive. That's
awful thing to do.
a little surprising, right? Just from whatever. Right? And he even calls it out and he's like, I know that most parents would just pray for this to go away.
Exactly.
But...
Rule number one, stop love, man.
Yeah.
And this will all be fine. Right?
The second thought was, fuck you guys, this is why you like this movie.
Yeah.
Because this is just somebody preaching up on high to tell you... Allow non-traditional things.
If
please.
You turn on the subtitles, it just has import scrolling across.
But I mean, everything about this movie kind of walks in that world, because if you edit out that scene,
that you don't mind.
Right? Yeah, if you edit out that scene, the thing about this movie that people love, taking out the speech that reiterates it. The thing about it is that throughout this whole movie, besides themselves kind of being like, should we, shouldn't we? There's nobody out there going like, gays are bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly, right? And that's what this movie does well, right? So, as you said, take out the last scene. This movie is...
A summer romance movie.
Yeah, it's just a romance movie. Yeah. It can be compared with the Before trilogy. Right. It can be compared with any other movie. It's just these two people falling in love, being young about it, and being like crazy.
It's what's supposed to happen
in
summer in Italy. It's what every book I've ever read has told me.
Have you been to Italy, Damien?
You go to Italy, you find someone.
You love man.
Anyone. Man, peach, goat,
all those peaches.
Find something, it summer will soon end, you fuck it and you go home.
Mm-hmm. By the way, so on the peach note,
that is the most disgusting thing I've seen in a movie.
The
a
thing about
time.
The peach, so it wasn't disgusting to me, and let me tell you why.
Because you're equally as disgusting.
Are you saying after apple pies, you're
put down the peach? I said somebody's gonna pick that up. And they did.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I told you.
Yeah. No, I knew that was going to happen. Still disgusted. Men are the worst. That is what this movie
I was watching.
Men
that
are
scene,
disgusting
and
creatures.
Like, and he must no be super fuck. Uncomfortable with those like peach juices all over him after. Like he didn't go and clean himself.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, but that's something that I'm personally... I know I have a problem with that, right? So anything with sticky, I can't do.
You're right,
that.
You can.
Mm-mm.
You
so
don't put
if
your
you
penis
notice,
in it.
If you notice, when I eat food, I
like
eat
peaches
ribs with a fork and knife.
Yeah.
I eat chicken wings with a fork and knife.
Yes.
Because
sad,
I do
awful
not
person.
Like sticky fingers.
Right. It is watching the young boy do young boy things. I'm like, oh, right. Men and boys are disgusting creatures.
Yep.
And shouldn't be left unsupervised at any point. Is what this the moral of this movie is. Do not allow young children to be unsupervised till they're 30.
No, 40.
Yeah. To be safe, 40 years old. Because they're disgusting. Shorts on your face. Oh,
so
my
Tump
God.
Approved.
That was crazy.
Call me by your name.
Yeah, I think we can say that this one is Tump approved. And we can now move on to Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Speaking of men being disgusted.
So, yes.
Actually.
I wanted us to.
I don't think the men were disgusted in this movie.
Uh-huh.
The woman. I'm not even going to say women. The woman was disgusting in this movie. So we are about to talk about Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. I think
John
that's the name,
Marston.
Right, Andrew?
Yes, you got the name correct. Okay. I applaud you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Wonder Woman. So this movie is actually about three people, two people in particular, the couple Professor and Mrs. Marston.
And Professor Marston, they were sexist pigs, and that's why she wasn't a professor.
No. Because they were sexist pigs, she was Mrs. So,
women, know your limits.
Listen, don't come to me with excuses, right? Reasons don't matter.
Exactly. You want to be a professor, you grow a dick like the rest of us.
Anyway, so you had Professor and Mrs. Marston, and a little later on in the movie, you had the third wheel. And this movie was about them and about how essentially what they did with their lives and how it kind of interrelated with the fact that this fellow also wrote and created the Wonder Woman comics and how that kind of played into the supposedly fetishist
let me be clear. Right? The Wonder Woman part of this movie feels tacked on. This movie, they could have written this entire movie and left the Wonder Woman shit out of it.
They could have, but you know what? I'm fine with it in this instance. So I'm going to put two movies side by side here. I'm going to talk about this movie and briefly, just as kind of a an illustration of what not to do.
Right, how to get this wrong.
I'm going to talk about another movie that we've spoken about recently, which is Cloverfield Paradox, or whatever that shit movie is. No, Cloverfield Paradox is another movie where shit was tacked on, and it was tacked on very badly.
Right, in the not good way.
The core movie wasn't that great to begin with, but then they added a even worse non-core movie that was just it made the whole thing so unwatchable. Yeah. Right, now this movie, yes, the Wonder Woman stuff wasn't necessary, but it didn't really detract in any way. Or
no,
at least for me.
Yeah,
it didn't, right?
No, that was fine.
I actually kind of like the core movie, right? So the core movie, as I say, is about these three people. It's about Luke Shaw. Almost said Luke Shaw.
Yep, Luke Shaw.
In the left Luke back Evans. Position.
Great footballer. Bad footballer, Luke Shaw.
Hey.
Yeah.
Mediocre footballer, Luke Shaw.
This is undetermined because he hasn't played football. He's only been injured.
Right. Yep. Barely good,
Luke Shaw. So you have Luke Evans and Rebecca Hall, who, by the way, Rebecca Hall steals this movie for me. And I know a big part of it has nothing to do with her. She was given those lines to say.
Yes.
Right? But anybody would have said those lines and there would have been some degree of awesomeness to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she said them in a way.
She did it goodly.
Oh boy. So they are a married couple and then they realize, hold on, I don't have to be this thing that, this box that people have put me in.
Yes.
We could, for instance, say, like another person and become a throuple, which essentially happens. And I just, this is one of those stories similar to Call Me By Your Name, where it's really just about this relationship
and you
have
hate
to decide.
It.
I actually really like this movie. You have to decide, do I like the people? Do I like what is happening? Do I want to be in this situation? And for the most part, yes, I wanted to be in this situation.
What
with
if
them.
It was two men, Douglas? Would you still have liked it then?
Oh, no. That's, absolutely. That's exactly.
What if, what if there were two peaches?
No, but but I really like the progression of this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think 95% of my love for this movie is Rebecca Hall. I'm sorry.
She is amazing in this movie. Like, if I had to pick my favorite thing about this movie, it is her.
Yeah. And every once in a while, I kind of chuckled at not the overt Wonder Woman references, mm-hmm. the not so covert Wonder Woman references. So things like... who plays the third woman again?
Bella Heathcote.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would not.
I am. I'm looking at the IMDb page right now.
Okay, so the let's call her the mistress. Actually, that's not fair.
Let's call her the Wonder Woman.
The Wonder Woman.
Her name was
so
Olive.
When, for instance, you realize that she always wears her armbands, and that's
what
Wonder Woman does. And when that first big sex scene where she has on the flowing dress that is it just reminds you of that kind of aesthetic. Then there is, of course, the big one when he goes into the sex store. Mm-hmm. It's not really a sex store, but I'm going to call it a sex store.
That's what it is.
And the guy is like, here is the Amazon suit, and it's literally a costume for...
Got you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are parts in this movie
and the
where
ropes and stuff
they
that,
didn't
you know,
work hard to
there.
Make Wonder Woman Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's a pervert, and wrote stories about his not wife for children. He's a terrible man, and he should be sent to prison. The reason I say that the Wonder Woman bits... feel unnecessary was that the how this movie is set up is the lie detector shit.
Yes.
And that is the part that would have been fascinating. Just we invented lie detectors. So when it started out there, I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing someone say that it was the same set of people. And like, if it had been just, this is how we found out that we both were in love with this other woman. And then they struggle to, you know, build a life for each other, continue to love each other, but keep it hidden from the rest of the world. That movie by itself would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
The Wonder, not having the Wonder Woman
but
bits
that's
would have done...
That's essentially would have, what this movie is, you know. The Wonder Woman bits are just...
But it was sold on the back. Yeah, but it was sold on the back of what?
Would you like to know why?
No, Douglas, I have some sense. Do you? I think I understand why they did it. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know,
no,
this
I
movie.
You. I hear you. And I have to tell you, there...
Like, it would have survived on its own without the WW.
It absolutely would. And that's what I love about this movie.
WWW?
And the thing about it is, right...
No, WW, this would have been the third one, right? Because there was the first
two. No,
this
is the first two.
And then she would have been
the third.
WW.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
All right.
So, this movie, Rebecca Hall is the star. But there's so many things, like just small moments, that help this movie along and make it just great. So, a moment that I really liked, and I think it's because it probably... broke me out of my expectation for that guy. So there's a nobody in this movie, right? There's always this supporting cast of characters where
you don't call Oliver Platt that.
Oliver Platt is awesome. He is not who I'm talking about. Right? So you always know that there are a bunch of characters in a movie who you don't need to care about. And one of those people in this movie is the lady's fiance, right?
Oh, so boy.
The lady's fiance, who cares? And there are a couple of scenes where he's on some sort of double dates with them, and whatever, fine. It's some sort of filler and you're supposed to learn things about people, sure. But there is one part, one scene where he essentially, he's been this friendly guy this whole time, and he finally breaks it off, and you see through, and he's like, all right.
I know what you want
because you're fairly obvious.
I mean,
and I love, and he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I know what you want because you want her. No, you. What
you.
Like, that was.
What do you get out of this?
That was my favorite scene with him in it. And it was a great scene. I love that.
And the movie's well written.
Yeah.
Well acted.
Yeah.
My favorite part comes at the very end where she asks for something very specific.
That is it. And I almost
fell out of the couch laughing.
Oh.
Man.
Are we talking about the same scene, by the way? This is
In the hospital.
In the hospital.
Yes,
where
she comes
to,
in and she's making her demands now.
Oh, the demands. Oh,
yes.
That's not even... Sure, that's a fun joke. I love what they have to do to get her to make demands.
Yes. Yeah. All of that scene. I'm in love. But what comes at the very end, I'm just like, this movie is perfect. This is a perfect movie.
It is.
It's dumb.
And that's exactly what you need, right? Because at that stage, essentially what it becomes... is a kind of light-hearted romance, which is fine.
That's what this
that's
movie
what
is.
This movie is.
This entire movie is that.
This movie is great.
It is a summer romance just for longer.
I am going to put it out there.
How do you know he doesn't like meet up with the married couple later, Damien?
So all one persons of the
one person of the people that listen to this podcast
can write in and tell me how I'm a bad person because I like this movie 10 times more than I liked Call Me By Your Name.
I don't know. Because
you're a bad
times.
Person.
10 times is a lot
I'll
of times,
write in dogs.
Douglas,
yeah,
but
you're
there
a
were
bad
at
person.
Least six Rebecca Halls.
I mean, that's a good point.
Was Armie Hammer
my counterpoint? 10 times is a lot of times more.
Yeah, I'm definitely exaggerating, right? And actually, I didn't think I liked it as much as I do now after I've spoken about it. But I really like this movie.
It is a fun romp.
Yeah.
On the face of it, it seems like it's going to be a serious movie, but
that's
not
what
this movie
is. That's what I thought it was going to be.
This movie is about...
And for a movie that is purportedly based on a true story and about something very important, women's rights.
Yeah. I think that might be the thing that I like most about this movie. It is a movie that you can look at and turn on the subtitles and see imports scrolling across.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. Yeah. They're just like, or let's just tell this fun story. Like, just imagine how fun these guys' lives must have been. Rebecca Hall is the meanest woman we could find in the world, and she enjoyed herself. So let's write this stupid movie and go on. And yeah, I like this movie a lot. It was, at no point was I not 100% engaged by this movie. And I don't think it's that long either. I think it is a full 40 minutes shorter than Call Me By
I'm actually,
Someone Else's
I'm
Name.
I'm physically upset by how much you guys are grading this against Call Me By Your Name. Like, I mean, I'm fine with the fact that you like podcast. This one more than Call Me By Your Name. But every time you say, like, every meter of measurement.
Yeah, right. Right. So is it Rebecca Hall is better than Armie Hammer.
Absolutely.
So that also helps.
Yeah. So is it sad that every time I say the word, the name, Call Me By Your Name, I hear in my mind the soundtrack to that movie, which is not Sufjan Stevens. Mm-hmm. It is...
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Oh, that's a good one, but no. I'm thinking more Alicia Keys. You Don't Know My Name.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But then, hold, that's pretty good. That's
a better soundtrack.
Is it that the beginning of the movie they play You Don't Know My Name? Then at the end they play something else?
How about DMX's What's My Name? Can we have that bit of soundtrack? Have a dog barking throughout the movie. Andrew, we're just doing this because we're terrible people to mess with you. Your movie is perfectly acceptable, but this movie is better.
Yeah.
I hate you all. No, I like this movie. Like, I do. This movie is a fun movie. And yeah. It's strange because I guess you haven't really spoken about it, but I find it interesting to see all of these images and ideas that are placed in this comic book, because I find those things interesting, right?
But risk theory?
I really,
not to cut you, Andrew. Douglas, I really, really am afraid of turning into one of those people at some point. Like, legitimately afraid that at some point the switch will go all the way over and I won't hear myself say things like that to other human people.
Things like what?
Like the disc theory.
Let me see if I can remember what it is.
Or the etymology of words, or any of that bullshit. Yeah. In regular human conversation.
Just super pretension never. All the way up.
What?
What it is, Damien, is you have to have this internal trigger inside you where you have basic version of you just going like, yeah, that shit's interesting. Mm-hmm. People do this. And then someone triggers you with a word like Snapdragon. And then you're like, oh, so disc theory is this.
No, so that's the thing. Like, I know a lot about, like, technology shit. But when I get around people who we would never have that conversation, it never falls out of my face. And when I hear people who barely like sports, I don't go, listen, in 1918, when the field was 2 inches, like, I do not have those. In fact, the only people I discuss movies with in any detail is you two idiots.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm around normal people and they're like, oh, Damien, you went to see Black Panther? And I look in their face and can see that they're excited to watch Black Panther. I go, that movie's the best movie. You should go watch it.
You see, you, I think you did the right thing, right? I feel like...
if I see that they're anytime, already excited,
yeah.
I'm not... Just go on.
But so, anytime go right I ahead. Speak to somebody about movies or... computers or things that we are engaged like this with, and they are normal persons. I feel like I'm an asshole because essentially they'll be talking about it, and I'll be like, "Yeah,
you would think that,
okay?" And I will just say things like, "Yeah, okay,
yeah man, that's wrong."
Yeah, no,
in your mind, you're like, "You're all wrong."
Yeah,
so very, very wrong.
So I can never actually respond to anything because I'm just like, well because how do I say like, what I want to say and not sound like
there are three people in my office right now that own Beats headphones. And they're like, oh, Damien, you know, like they see me with my headphones, they're like, you know, these Beats, and instead of going, listen guys, do not go down this road with me, because I'll bring AKGs and headphone hams into this place and be done with all of you. I just go, you know, yeah, I should buy a pair of Beats and then just move on.
But Damien, there are people in my office, and this, I've noticed, happens everywhere. This is just a people thing. Their, like, Microsoft Office or something like that will be a little bit slow. And they'll turn around to you and say, is anybody else's computer slow? As if to say that their computer's speed and mine is connected in some way. And if mine is slow, then that makes sense. It's a system problem.
Yeah.
And it, maybe they'll fix it later.
Yeah, and Douglas, you just have to roll with all of that, dog. Never again. Like, because heading down the road, we're like, pushing up my glasses, you know. Oh, because I've met those people and I hate all of them. Yeah. Okay, you're right. No, shut the fuck up. Congratulations.
I forgot how we got here.
Yeah, I don't want to be people answering other people on the internet, because that's the inevitable end to that. Now, we were talking about the movie, and we were talking about, you know, things that people say. Learned people say in the world, and I was telling you what one of my legit fears in this life is, to never, ever, ever be one of those people. Unless you ask me a specific question and want that information as a normal person, and then I
kind of help you through. But
Damien, people ask me what my favorite movies are, mm-hmm. and I won't think what's my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. I'll try and think what's a good movie
to tell these
that
people.
They will know, right? And also that EQ won't be offensive to them, right? So, for instance, I could never tell anybody in this country
Rambo
about
First Blood Part 2.
I think of the three of us, Douglas would be able to answer that question honestly and be okay.
Yeah.
No, you know, because Andrew, sure, I watch shitty movies, but Andrew, how many people in Jamaica, we can't even use Chef.
How many people in Jamaica watch Chef?
I was going to use Crash Pad, but Chef is still a fine example.
Six people.
you see, when somebody asks me a question like that out here, you have to think, all right, what superhero movie?
Yeah.
And even then. Could you use Thor? Right. I don't know.
Right. You have to listen to what the conversation was before, and then you're like, oh, I see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, great.
And then the sad part is every once in a while, they'll surprise you. And they'll be like, yo, I didn't watch this Darkest Hour or some just mm-hmm. random movie. Whether or not it's good, just that the you fact didn't that think there. That they got there.
And it's like, well, congratulations.
Yeah.
The last conversation I had with a regular human about something where I was specific, they came over and they went onto the computer and they were looking for movies. But instead of doing what I told them to do, mm-hmm. which is open Kodi and then find the goddamn movies.
First of all, Kodi should always be open.
No, it's a computer. I use it to play games.
Well, then don't let them watch movies. No. Put another computer on your television.
That one is in my room. There's one in the living room, and there's one in my room. But they went to my computer to then go to, because they know they've come over and they know that I keep everything in its own specific folder. Mm-hmm. So they came and they saw the terabyte count and went, this is impossible. No human person has this much space. And they're like, Damien, what in Christ's name are you doing? I said, I have a lot of shit to store. But they were like, no, you have to. I need to know. I need to know so that if I am one of those people, I can get this much space. And so I was kind of walking them through the lunacy that I have, why I need, because I'm a digital hoarder. Mm-hmm. The movies take up this much space, and so you run out of space. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I was like, Christmas time. So, yeah, I refuse to play that game, because it's so bad. It's so bad to be that person.
So, recently, Duncan Jones released a new movie, and okay, I feel it should be impolite for us not mm-hmm. to discuss a Duncan
and
Jones.
And I imagine
film.
All three of us have watched it, right?
I'm afraid.
Really, you haven't?
That's fine. I think this makes for the best conversation, though. There's the seen and unseen version of this, because this movie is garbage.
Yeah, that is what I was afraid of.
So I wouldn't go as far as to use the word garbage.
Garbage.
But less than required. Yeah.
Okay. See, herein lies the most upsetting
thing
about this movie.
It is the rash of the T kind.
Right? Herein lies the upsetting thing about this movie. This movie is called Mute, if nobody knows what this movie is. Uh-huh. The film is a story about Alexander Skarsgård, who plays a mute Amish man in the future. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend goes missing, and he kills any and everything to find his girlfriend.
Like, the premise sounded so stupid.
And so much of this movie feels like those kinds of movies where he kind of moves on to one person after another person, and you meet all of these characters in this seedy underworld of things going on, but nothing really ever feels great. Excepting one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And this, you guys are going to call this bias. You're going to call this bias, but I feel this movie would have been a much better movie if this movie was the same story, but Paul Rudd's story. right? Because Paul Rudd plays one of the characters in this movie.
Yeah. His character is fun.
Right? Like especially him. With the guy who he's paired up with, Justin Theroux, in that wig. Right? And he... I feel this movie would be an interesting story of just things happening to Paul Rudd with him going like, you know, I want to get out of Germany. And he's just kind of constantly being like, this is when I get out of Germany. And then shit happens. He's like, I'm not getting out of Germany. It just becomes a frustrating tale of him just kind of living in purgatory almost, being upset that he's in Germany. But yeah.
Actually, yeah, that would be a fun movie. But this could be a good movie too if it was a good movie.
If it were better.
Yeah, if it were better. So... this, if you listen to this movie, it sounds like Taken, which we all loved at least at the time. It sounds like Mickey Rourke's portion of Sin City, which I know I still love to this day. It sounds a little bit like John Wick. It has the seeds to be something great, right? But it just doesn't do that. It wallows in wanting to look pretty. And it kind of does look pretty. But it just isn't it isn't that great. And also something that it does, so essentially anything good about this movie is almost always immediately taken back, right? For instance, you went to lengths, Andrew, to speak about how much you love Paul Rudd, and I think Paul Rudd's character
is and that mustache movie.
Exactly, right? But Paul Rudd, I mean, even if you look at Paul Rudd, Paul Rudd's character is great, but then there are things about him that I immediately want to... They tied in this not quite do-gooder, but his relationship with Justin Theroux, as he said, and he finds out something about him and gets upset, and they put all of these... They put some character... quirks and learnings and stuff in there that just are unnecessary. And I think what it really does is it feels like they realized that the core of their story wasn't doing so well, and so they said, you know what, let's give Paul some more time. And the more time was the weaker stuff.
Why is he mute?
He had an accident when he was young.
And does it pay off in the end, his muteness, his mutinosity?
There's something in the end related to it, but I don't think it's a payoff.
Why did... Listen, guys. The real question is, why did he make Warcraft?
Because...
Why after Moon and Source Code?
Quite a bit of money. Moon
is he
made
throwing
no money?
Away all of what I loved?
Uh-huh. So that he can...
To make trash.
So he can eat food, right? Hmm? Food can go upon his table and he can feed his child, right? That's how that works.
Douglas, he's a film director.
But anyway, to get back to this movie, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it. This movie is, at best, a little less than average. and it suffers from, amongst... any other thing that we can talk about, and I know there's a lot of
Paul
negatives
Rudd.
We can talk about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It suffers from the Lord of the Ring itis, where this movie ends, and then there is another half hour.
Is there a lot of walking?
There's some walking.
Is there a small creature trying to steal a ring?
Yes, his name is Paul Rudd.
Are there orcs? Like,
yes,
in
Justin
the Warcraft
Theroux
movie?
is the orc. Are they orcs?
Who's
in
Gandalf?
Are they? No, they're not orcs in Lord of the Rings. What are they in Lord of the Rings called?
Yes, they're orcs in Lord of the Rings.
They're orcs. Okay.
Yes.
It's been a while.
So, any movie or book or whatever that speaks about orcs, that's where they got it from. That's where it started. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's my understanding of it. I believe that Tolkien was the first guy to say, you know what? I'm going to have monsters. I'm going to call them orcs. Because I didn't like dorks when I grew up, and I'll name it. Or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Right?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tolkien was a dork. I know I'm really putting myself way the hell out there.
Out there.
Didn't you see that episode?
Language.
Didn't you see that episode of Legends of Tomorrow? He was in the war, right?
No, I didn't see that episode of Legends.
I saw that episode. He was in the war.
Because I stopped watching Flash.
Did you see
was
this
freed.
Episode of this
week? I haven't watched this week's episode yet.
Legends.
I'm no free
it's
from
so
all of
heartwarming.
That. I'm sure at some point I'll get trapped back in. I'll be stranded on Flash Island.
I'm still on Flash Island.
But
and because of Flash Island, I must then also be on shitty superhero world.
I mean, you say must, but
I know, right?
You're wrong.
Talking about shitty superhero world, there was a superhero movie that came out recently.
Yeah.
Right? And very much like our last movie, we get to have the seen unseen conversation.
Right. You haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
I've seen it twice.
Oh, you watched it twice.
I'm black. I have to. No.
you wanted to go to Wakanda.
Yeah.
Yes. I just need to understand my geography.
Right.
Is Wakanda the capital of Zamunda or is Zamunda the capital of Wakanda?
Listen. Off the coast of Madagascar.
It's like for me, Kingston and St. Andrew, I have that issue all the time.
Off the coast of Madagascar, right?
Yeah.
When you go to the left, usually you turn right, but you're going to turn left.
Mm-hmm.
That is when you get to Zamunda.
Okay, so hold on. So you have talking animals on the right in Madagascar.
Right.
And then
you have Eddie Murphy on the left.
Where is Simba?
In the center.
Is Arsenio Hall?
No.
This podcast is over.
Oh my god. Right. Andrew, do you like Black Panther?
I do like Black Panther. Like
how much? On a scale of Thor in the middle, Thor 2 at the very bottom, and Thor 3 at the very top.
Hold on. I think we need to readjust this.
No,
scale.
For Andrew. This is an Andrew specific scale.
Thor cannot be in the middle of any scale.
Thor is the middle. That is why it's an Andrew specific scale. Because if he says anything, if he says that it is below Thor, any Thor that is not 3, then we know how, then you can judge how bad the movie is. He says, it's not as good as Thor 1. You're like, oh, this movie is bullshit.
Douglas, I know you dislike both of them, but if you had to put one atop the other, Thor versus Thor 2.
Oh no, I mean, it's not even a fucking question. I agree with Damien's placement in terms of 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I just believe that Thor is not in the middle. No. It is closer to the bottom of that scale.
Douglas, if it was our scale, it would be Thor 1 and 2 at the bottom.
Yes.
Literally anything else. Thor 3.
I think Black Panther is an Ant-Man.
Oh, so I will hate this
that's
movie.
That's mean.
I love Ant-Man. Right. Leave me alone.
Alright, here, Douglas. Don't listen to mad people. Here's what. Have you seen comic movies?
I've seen one or two.
Cool. It's not one of the bad ones. No. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor 3. It's not that.
Okay.
But it is not.
It did look more serious, right? It looked more action-y than funny.
Right. Yeah. So, because of the nature of the villain, there is a seriousness of. There's a. His tone is very serious. Like, there's no jokes with him at all, which kind of lets down the back half of the movie because it takes it in a direction that is so super serious that feels kind of out of place for what this movie is. But it is...
Which is Black Panther.
Yeah, but it is one of those movies.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
From Zamunda.
Yes, it is from Zamunda. What is the best one that...
So...
Imagine...
Should I expect, like, a Doctor Strange
level of... Right.
Awesomeness?
No. So it is a step beneath Doctor... I can't come up with what that
would be, but it is not. It is better Iron than Man. I would say it's better than all of the Iron Mans, right? Mm-hmm. So it is an enjoyable movie, mm-hmm. but it is not the step above where you go, this movie is awesome and I'll watch this a million
I'm
times.
I'm surprised at how many times I've watched Doctor Strange, to be quite frank.
Doctor Strange is very, very good. It is not that. But there's things about it that is special because you've never seen them before in movies. First, black people. No one lets them into movies.
I watched Get Out.
Second of all, because it is basically, because of their technology, they're basically in the future. It's like Blade Runner, but imagine if Africa was the catalyst for where technology went from. Which is fun, because you've never seen anything like that in any movie. So there's this weird
because
mixture of...
unobtainium.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. There's this weird mixture of... African traditions and then future shit, but it still works. It like it doesn't feel out of place. There's one joke where I want to call him the King of Zamunda, but no, I'm not supposed to call him. Where Black Panther's sister
Shuri
develops.
Shuri. I loved her.
Sneakers.
She was my favorite part of that movie.
She developed something called sneakers. I'm like, you guys are trying too hard. That's a stupid joke. And I don't like it.
Like that movie, though.
But the thing...
Have you ever watched Sneakers?
Yes.
That movie's great.
The thing that is most out of place in the movie is also the best part of the movie, which is Michael B. Jordan. He out-acts everybody. It feels like they told him that he was going to be in a real movie. I don't think they made him aware that it's a cartoon.
Can you imagine he goes to the opening and he watches it and he's like, wait, you didn't tell me.
You guys are jerks. I acted the shit out of this. You guys put me in a goddamn cartoon. That is what it feels like.
And then he's like, I was in a green suit the whole time. Right. If I knew that's what you'd have put on me, right, I'd have done this different.
Of all the villains that have showed up in any comic book movie, this one is the one that you're like, I see how he made his way here. The path for him to become this monster, he probably shouldn't have done it, but I can see why. And he is so believable as that person that you're just like, well, you guys will have to find some Kate Blanchett way to bring this guy back, because what the fuck is happening? But like, yeah, Loki was like, Loki's the fun villain. Like, he was the villain in the first one, but not really, because he's come back. But all the other villains have just been either so big and dumb, so as not to be believable, or you couldn't care any less. Like, Ultron is a robot that drop in a city and some shit. You're like, I don't give a fuck about it. Like, these villains are trash villains. He's the first one that you're like... he is like a step below what Heath Ledger did for the Joker. It's a Marvel movie, so they didn't go that dark. But you could see, if Chris Nolan made this movie, that is what he would have been. it's an okay movie. But do not watch it now. There's too much hype.
Yeah,
I just couldn't bring myself, like, based on everything I heard about the movie, you sat there and you're just like, dog, they've made 15 million of these movies. This is cut and paste. You're like, all right, here what? We're going to put some blackface on these white people, and that is what Black Panther is. Like, it's a Marvel movie. There's nothing that different about it. It's fun, but... I need to mention the bodyguards in this movie are the head of his military. Douglas, when I saw her the first time in the last Captain America movie, when she was going to kick Scarlett Johansson in the face, I'm like, I need her. I need them to tell me what's her name so I can go and kidnap her. So watching her in this movie, Douglas, it is the first time I think I've been this attracted to someone And Douglas, she doesn't have any hair. Like, okay. She's bald the entire time. I'm just uh-huh. The first time I was watching it with one of the guys from work, and at one point, he had to put, like, he was talking to me, and he's like, Damien. I'm like, what? And he's like, Damien, yeah, she look good, but tech time. Just staring at her. I was like, where are they finding these people? And she's not Black Panther's love interest, which is the most unbelievable part of this entire movie. Well, like, there's some other girl that he kind of, I'm like, Damien, look, dog.
You don't fuck the help, all right?
No, you do. You just keep it on the wraps.
Well, if you do, you have to find him.
Fair enough. God, shit. I don't even want to find out her name. I don't even want to look because I'm afraid of what happens at that point. Jesus Christ, she's pretty. Oh my God, damn it. Yeah, Black Panther.
Alright, I'll watch it once it comes out on my television.
Oh, dog.
What?
Fucking Carib. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah. Alright. All right.
Jesus Christ. Douglas?
Uh-huh.
I saw it in the big theater, and it was bad.
Okay.
It was too dark.
Mm-hmm.
The sound was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And during intermission, they do their favorite thing where they don't turn off the lights and start the movie, even though it's a 3D movie, okay. Which is... But then I saw it in the small theater. And holy shit, dog. Andrew, I know you don't remember this. And you even... I hate to bring up bad memories because you haven't been here in years.
I've repressed them, don't worry.
Right. Douglas, you know how we saw Inimoscope that one time? Douglas, I saw them crop the movie both ways. Yeah, because I knew it was cropped this time because I saw it in the big theater first.
Uh-huh.
So watching it in the small theater, and I realized why they did it. It is because the movie is in 3D and their shitty projector can't get the edges properly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when the trailers are playing, the curtain is open all the way out because it is not in 3D. Mm-hmm. But once the 3D shit starts, you see them slowly bringing the curtains.
Mm-hmm. Don't focus on the edges.
Guys, pay no attention. And they kept coming. I'm like, I wonder how far they're going to get. Pretty far, Douglas. Remember widescreen? That it is basically, it's real. Douglas, I enjoyed my second viewing more because I was able to laugh at the entire thing. Mm. Caribbean, they've stepped up their game.
So you're telling me that even though, because I was hesitant, I was not 100% sure about my decision, but
dog, Caribs.
So it was okay. That's a good decision.
Oh my God. I'd pay them. At this point, I'm willing to pay $5,000 to never see a 3D movie again. It is dark. Like, when I went home and watched a trailer.
And it's not just because it's Black Panther.
I mean, that might be. But I watched a trailer.
Andrew
again.
Might want to cut out that joke.
No.
No.
You live here. Can't be racist. I watch the trailer. I'm like, oh no, this show is supposed to be bright and pretty, not dark like and awful. Trailer, yeah. No,
no,
it is in grayscale. Caribbean is bad. It's still really bad.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah. So guys, I finally got to watch Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri,
and she won. And someone stole our Oscar.
Yes, I saw that. That's hilarious.
That's pretty good.
That's, that guy's an idiot. But
I hope he did it for the lols. Yep, I win.
Guys, that movie is awesome. What did you guys have to? I heard nothing about it.
Yeah,
your conversation.
I remember.
I took off my headphones.
It's only like, as if there's a recording he could listen to.
Yeah.
To find out
where would he find out?
Damn,
maybe on a Dropbox somewhere.
This is like his angriest movie.
It's so good.
It's I love it.
It's so good.
I love it.
Every single part of that stupid movie.
and all the bad decisions.
And the ending, is perfect. Great. Yeah.
He's because just like, once it reached to that point, mm-hmm. I remember maybe 5 minutes left in the movie. I didn't really, I wasn't looking at the time, but I said, you know, nothing's really been resolved.
Right.
It feels like if this was a regular movie, I'd have at least another hour left. Mm-hmm. But this is where they should end it. And they did. I was very happy. Yeah.
Sam Rockwell is great. McDormand. What's her name?
Frances McDormand.
Sounds wrong. She was great. Ed Harris.
Yeah, he's not in this movie. He's great. He's great. I mean, he's got the right stuff.
Chuck Norris. Also great in this movie.
I mean, Stallone. This was Stallone's last movie before he died.
And then Clint Eastwood. I mean, that camera. Yeah,
he's finally making that comeback.
He's the third Billboard.
So, who were you really thinking of when you started out with Ed Harris? Were you thinking, you must have been thinking of the sheriff, right?
Yes.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Otherwise known as Woody in Cheers.
Yeah, that Woody is his name.
Oh
that,
my gosh.
Yeah.
I hate your brother so much. Don't come back here.
But no, I remember I used to watch that show.
He, in this movie, like, when you see how the movie starts and you see her putting up the billboards, you just assume the sheriff is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is...
By the way, he's totally a piece of shit.
Yeah, no.
And I love
he is he writes a great letter. Man.
He writes a letter.
And he is my favorite person in the world.
Oh, my God.
That man is a truly great man.
And by the way, so... When you realize, when you mm-hmm. read his letter and you realize what he's done, you retrospectively love that post-it note and the $5,000 even more.
Because
mm-hmm. fuck those pigs.
Yeah. Yep. He's like, listen, I'm doing this. I know it's a dick move. I hope they don't kill you. I really hope they don't kill you.
I almost wanted her to have like a press conference mm-hmm. afterwards and, you know, essentially go up there and mm-hmm. say, I received this letter from the sheriff. Mm-hmm. I will read it out now.
Yes.
Just to let you know mm-hmm. what this guy is.
Yes. Listen, I know I'm up.
No, Bane does that. That's Bane's scene.
Plus, I like her reveal to, I just called his name and I've
already. Woody Harrelson?
No,
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
And
oh,
Sam Rockwell was
like, duh.
What the fuck? Yeah, no shit. A word? Everybody in this town is a jerk.
But.
And I love this. So, I love this movie.
How does Sam Rockwell get away with things that he gets away with? I understand that there's a certain level of protection
because his
even
mother.
In real life for police officers.
Because his mother.
Right?
Look at that lady.
You don't want
you
to cross
fuck
her
with that lady?
You don't fuck
no,
her.
Dog. He's like, it is easier to just let this guy
by the way,
continue.
I'm just telling you from now,
mm-hmm.
you like her. Mm-hmm. You don't realize you like her because of this, but I'm telling you, you like her because she is in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know
she,
I like
she
her.
Is,
right, I know
she
I love,
is that person in
It's, I love Always, it's Sunny. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
She's Mac's mom, and it's great.
Thank you. I hear that show is true.
I love that show.
All right, so I hear you guys have made one and two suggestions.
Oh,
the goodnessity of that show.
But Damon, I am... Like... It was never in question that I wasn't going to like this movie.
Yeah, we told you.
Based on who... No, but even... Let's forget about mm-hmm. its actual quality.
Right.
Right?
Based
on the fact
the director
Madonna,
and the talent.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
You know I'm it's straight. Going to happen. This.
Oh, he's too good.
He is. And it's like they're tag teaming. Him and Michael.
Yeah.
Just, I've got next year, you know, kind of thing. And... I'm so happy that these two guys.
When someone asks you.
Somebody's willing to give them money because it certainly isn't the viewer. I don't know how many. It might have been 5 people.
30
watch
people
watch
this
right?
movie.
Yeah.
When someone asks you, you know, what's your favorite movie? You should say, you should go watch 3 Billboards.
No, if I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to tell them more and everyone. I'm sorry.
No, they're not ready, Douglas.
I know they're not ready.
They don't deserve it.
But
Douglas,
Damien,
they're not worthy
Damien,
of ward
I'm
everyone.
I'm going to get the same response, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to half step.
Yeah, but you don't want them to make the mistake and go straight to ward everyone and have Andrew's reaction to hate another person. You have to still like Andrew because he's your brother. Imagine if someone you barely can stand watches War and Everyone and comes back to you and is like, I didn't like that movie. There might be an incident, is what I'm saying. Just like Hunt for the Wilder People. Would you tell anyone to watch that? Because if they came back to you and say, the fuck is Cuck's life? You'd end up in other news. Man stabs other man. Repeatedly. Screaming Scott's life.
Apparently over Tupac. Right. An altercation about Tupac.
Something about Tupac and thug life? No, Scott's life? Don't understand. But yes.
Yeah.
3 Billboards.
3 Billboards.
Andrew, you seen Fish Fucking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Douglas? It won Best Picture.
It was my number one movie of 2017.
It's recently come out on VOD. I haven't really... I can't watch it.
I ignore everything that you say, right, Andrew?
I mean, I said it straight to you as we were sitting beside each other.
I have a rule that I watch every movie of his except that one that you want me to
watch. Right, but no, he's done one that has won Best Picture.
No, forget Best Picture.
Yeah, but he won Best Picture.
Have you watched it?
I'm thinking of putting it on the list since you have, because right now it's your pick next week, so this is like a prompt.
Yeah.
Just get this done.
Yeah.
It's Andrew's favorite movie.
Pick something.
I can't pick Annihilation, and I don't want to wait 4 years for my pick again at the current rate that we're going. 16 months from now.